Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Rick Volvro and Austin Underground. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Spring ball is underway. We're going to talk about it, talk about recruiting a lot more. But first, be sure to tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking this morning. We love to see and hear all that good stuff. And Bobby, you were actually at the practice yesterday for the media viewing window. What were some of your key takeaways?
Oh, you know, I think that let's start with the health of the team. Manny Muhammad was out again. He's just got, based on what I've been told, he's got a tweaked hamstring. So it's not anything long term, but it's something to monitor and not mess with, right? You don't want to go out there, be silly, and have him be out for two more weeks, right? So just let that be. Beyond that, I felt like the Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning continued to look good, Ewers in particular. Looked very confident after the practice itself. Blake, I really, really liked how Quinn Ewers handled the media. Talked about not only how he came to the decision of why he would stay an extra year, but then talked about what he had learned after the fact, you know, about from his really journey through time at Texas and post high school. I feel like I say this, and I don't mean to. You know, be over, make the words have too much meaning, I guess is the right way to put it. He's got a sense right now of who he's becoming and who he wants to be as a man. That's kind of how I feel. I mean, when he showed up at Texas, he's 18. Now he's 20. You know what I mean? He is developing as a person and as a player simultaneously. He talked a lot about what he wanted to do in the future. He felt like the first year he was just trying to hold on to the steering wheel. Last year he guided the steering wheel a little bit. This year he feels like he's got command of the car, right? It's a little bit different. And that's where I think he wants to just keep getting better as a quarterback. So that was a takeaway. Then on the defensive side of the ball, in reflection, I've thought about it talked a little bit about it here. I just think they're really, really talented at defensive end right now. It's hard for me to believe that, right? But they added three guys in. Not only did they add Trey Moore, a young man out of UTSA, but Colin Simmons, Zena, and then you have Baron Sorrell, who came back. Ethan Burke is back. It looks like Colton Vosick is healthy for the first time in a while. And so I actually think that was a big takeaway for me. It's kind of dual-sided, where a year ago you would have said that was the big question mark heading into spring practice, right? Who's going to be the edge opposite Baron Sorrell? Well, I mean, I actually think that could be a team strength going into 2024.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100% with Bobby at edge position. I think we're going to be talking about, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think we're going to be talking about Trey Moore as a top two defensive player on this team.
Him and Anthony Hill very well could be the two best players on defense.
Everything I'm hearing, I mean, because, look, I put some notes up on Texas football, but, you know, he's considered a pass rush guy, right? He's so twitchy, and that's where if you watch highlights, that's a lot of highlights of him at UTSA. But he has shown the ability to set the edge, too, early on. So, you know, and in Colin Simmons is going to be a disruptive guy that creates some chaos as a young player. A lot to learn that goes with that, you know, as far as assignment football. So that's going to be a process for him. But you mentioned Colton Vosick. I mean, Colton Vosick looks great physically. It's just a matter of being healthy. I mean, that's a guy that before the nagging injuries began, he was being talked about as a guy that could have pushed his way into the rotation as a true freshman. So that he was making a strong impression before the injury bug kind of kicked in for him. But, you know, I thought Barrett Sorrells looked really good in the practices I've been at. Physically, technically, in drills, he just gets it. I mean, he's maximizing his talent. Whatever he's maximizing it, Bobby.
We use this term around here. He is the adult in the room.
Yeah.
That's what he's grown into after 4 years at Texas. He is the adult in the room. I'll tell you, I felt the same way about David Benda yesterday at the post-practice media availability as well. He is an adult. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be an A++ player. That's a different story. But I get the distinct feeling neither one of those guys are going to get cut short at the line. If that makes sense, they're not going to give every ounce of what they have and what they can be to the cause. And I think others will follow that and understand that as part of the whole process. So, and football's, you know, it's 11 on 11. It's not 1-on-11.
Right.
So those guys have a space. I think Sorrell, Jerry, we talked about this 2 years ago, his body was morphing.
Yeah.
I mean, he came in skinny.
He looks a lot bigger than Justice Finkley, guys.
Oh my God. He's much bigger. Justice is just not very tall.
Right.
Justice is thick. It's just, but the reality of it is he keeps gaining the right kind of weight. And if there is a poster boy for development at the University of Texas on the defensive side of the ball right now, it's Barron Sorrell, because he has put everything he has into it, and it's clear that they put him on a path to get everything out of himself too. He looks like a million bucks right now.
Bobby, talk about – I thought it was interesting David Benda mentioned Ty Anthony Smith yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, look, you can – with 17 early enrollees, if you're one of the guys that needs some time physically, right, to develop, you're not going to get talked about as much, right? You're not going to be the guy that people see initially when players walk out on the field, notice, right? But I thought it was interesting that Benda brought up Ty Anthony Smith, because for those that haven't, and we're not saying this year with Ty Anthony, he needs time. But the one thing I'll say about being at Jasper twice to see Ty Anthony, talking to Coach Crumity and that staff down there about Ty Anthony, first physically, he needs some time to develop, but he's got a 79, 80-inch wingspan at 6'1.5". So if you like long arms at linebacker and you like a linebacker that played running back, took snaps, split out, played receiver, played safety, played linebacker, brought him off the edge, this is your guy, that small town guy who had to do a lot for a high school team, helped that team get deep into the playoffs, district MVP. The thing I was told at Jasper by the staff is cerebral football player. So they could put a lot on his plate and they weren't worried about him being able to handle it all. So now, and I thought he was an instinctive player at linebacker as well. So it was nice, Bobby, to see Ben to mention him, because he's not going to get mentioned a lot in the next year, probably, because there's other experienced players. There's guys that are going to be playing, taking the snaps on Saturday. But it's nice to see here a young guy mentioned by an experienced linebacker.
He also talked about Darian Gillette as well, which is good to hear, because you don't hear his name much, even though he's extraordinarily talented. Look, I noticed Ty Anthony running around yesterday. Leonga LaFau is another young one that I think is going to have some. I actually think LaFau, out of those three, is probably going to have more time on the field this year. It's interesting to me. What we're talking about here is depth a little bit. And I think just Texas is having it right now. Every position, I think, has depth on defense. Every single position, except for defensive tackle.
And it's more over the ball.
Yeah. I mean, it is, because Dre Bledsoe is so talented. But they're not. There's not enough.
Yeah.
There's just not enough. I mean, that's the question I have is, first of all, Alfred Collins looks like the best of the group right now. He looks like his body's continued to grow, which is a good sign. I really want to say that. I think that's a really good sign for Texas. Sabea is a little thicker maybe than what you think he is. Yes. So I, even though I think he came in at 295 or whatever, he looks a little thicker on the trunk. So he can actually anchor probably a little bit better. Vernon Broughton is getting better, but still not that anchor type body shape. He just doesn't have that. And, you know, a lot of talk about Aaron Bryant. I mean, he's a little undersized still. And then Alex January, as well as Sadir Mitchell. Hey, by the way, I want to say this because a lot of people have given negative remarks about Sadir Mitchell. So first of all, we do think he has some medical issues going on that we've talked about prior, but I thought he had a very good practice yesterday. Very, very good. Like he was bopping around early in drills, had a good energy to him. You know, so don't throw the baby out with the bathwater quite yet on him. He had a good practice yesterday. Now, the question with Sadir and a lot of these guys is, can he keep building on those the next time, so they can start to see some consistency out of him?
All right, guys. Like I said, we're going to talk about recruiting here in a minute. We've got lots of questions about spring practice that we're going to get into. But first, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Rick Vavro and Austin Underground?
Absolutely. Rick Vavro is a good friend of the program and just a really all-around good guy. He and his team at Austin Underground have specialized in difficult underground commercial installations since 2004. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often consider just too risky. Rick and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work every time that you can depend on. That's Austin Underground. They also have another company called Texas Road that can work in conjunction with one another. So if you have difficult underground and commercial installations that you need and road work, give the guys at Austin Underground or Texas Road a shout. Rick and his team, just tremendous.
Okay, well, we do want to thank
Blake. I got to call you out real quick.
What's up?
It's opening day of base of MLB, and you have no Rangers stuff on. after dancing on this show for months and going to parades and stuff, you have no Rangers gear on. What the heck?
I know. So listen, I obviously have a Cubs hat on, but when my son plays, which is today, I say the C's for Comanche. And then I got the pink matching the pink. I actually have the same blue Nike shoes on. So, see, it's a whole outfit.
Okay. Yeah, you're making up for it.
Yeah, so there we go. But, yes, it definitely is opening day. I'm excited. Not going to get to watch much of it because my son plays 2 hours away from here. But it's okay. I'd rather go see him anyway. Well, Jerry, tell us about recruiting. I know you got lots of news and notes there. What's the latest?
Yeah, I'll start with a little DB recruiting. I had a chance to catch up with Dorian Brew a little last night. He's going to be at Ohio State this weekend, by the way. Has that official visit scheduled for June 21st through 23rd. USC will get an official visit as well. I think that date is scheduled. He's going to visit Texas officially. I think that's leaning to June 14th through 16th. I think they're just trying to finalize some stuff. Chance that he's on campus in April. That's going to depend a lot on track. You know, obviously his parents are both world-class track athletes. He runs in the 100 and on the relays for Conroe High. They have district meet coming up in a couple of weeks. So, you know, that April 6th visit date for some of those kids is depends on when their district meet is, can knock them out. But there's a chance he's back on campus in April. I think, look, it's one of the real national recruiting battles in the state of Texas that Texas is in on with Ohio State, where his mom's in the Hall of Fame. LSU is going to get an official visit, obviously, where his father is. If they have a Hall of Fame and he's not in it, he should be. And obviously Corey Raymond's all in there. Texas, USC, Ohio State, and probably Oregon. I think those are going to be your five. So it runs the gamut. It's a national recruitment. There you see Brew, a really strong kid, physical kid, can run in the 10.7, 10.8 range at 6'2", 200 pounds. So thicker frame. He's not built like his dad. His dad's still built like an Olympian. Honestly, I was watching him coach the track team at Conroe High. The athletic periodized that a few weeks ago. Dorian's a thicker built guy, more of a football build. But again, one of the big national recruitments out there for the Longhorns. Then Cortland Guillory out of Klein Oak, a DB who will officially visit June 7th through 9th. He was at Texas practice on Saturday. He's a guy that Texas continues to take a serious look at and evaluate. He may not put up the testing numbers necessarily some other guys do, but he is a really effective, good football player. So it'll be interesting to see where Texas goes on that. Caleb Chester, another guy at corner that Texas likes. He's officially visiting June 7th through 9th. Then Adonis Curry out of Quartz Hill up in Northern California in Lancaster. Texas talked to him earlier this week. They're getting closer to setting an official visit date. We'll see if that gets done. That would probably be June 21st through 23rd based on where his official visit schedule's at right now. So just a little bit on DB recruiting because, I mean, D-line gets a lot of the talk. OL because it's going to be a big class and there's 10 guys that are already have official visit dates. And then wide receiver obviously is very popular in this class. And then the intrigue with running back. But so DB's getting lost a little bit in this class as far as conversation goes, but it shouldn't be. It's interesting because where there's so much depth in state at wide receiver and offensive line, and even D-line is – it may not factor in for Texas, but it's factoring for all the schools that recruit Texas. There's more depth on the D-line than there has been. At DB, it may not be quite as much for the Texas of the world. You know, look, if Devin Sanchez ever – if he ever called Texas, obviously the Horns would listen. So I want to put that out there. He's committed to Ohio State. But so I think Texas is really looking out of state right now. There's two or three in-state targets, obviously. Cade Phillips at safety at Hightower. We'll see if he can get that long jump out to 25 feet here at district or in regionals coming up. But I think he's obviously a take at safety. And I think Dorian Brew definitely would be at corner. So we'll see how DB shakes out. But some things are progressing towards setting up official visitors. And that's key because we have 33 or 34 official visitors confirmed right now, not counting Jordan Davison, who I expect to be on campus June 21st through 23rd. So that number's creeping up closer to 40, Bobby. I think it'll end up being about 40 and a half, 45.
Sounds like there's some guys coming to campus this weekend, too, for the Texas Relays, Jerry. So they'll be on – running back out of Forney, J.O. Osborne coming in as well. And it seems like it's starting to get to that time period where we knew it was happening. We were just waiting our time. A couple of visit weekends in April. That lays over until June after the May portal. Because remember, we got the portal coming up, open at April 15th, and then coaches can go on the road at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of different pieces to the puzzle right now that are happening, but this next group is about three weekends in a row. Texas will have people on campus. Then they'll play the spring game. Then the coaches are out on the road. The portal happens. I mean, it's getting ready to be – recruiting is getting ready to be a hot mess. I'll just put it that way. But hopefully for Texas, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Naaman Roberts has asked in the chat about Torrey Blaylock, who's going to announce his decision here coming up. He asked what Texas recruiting Torrey at. Unless Texas makes a big push late, it's not going to be Texas there. I'll say that. Congrats to Torrey. Jelani Watkins, the undersized slot receiver going to LSU. I mean, that was a long-standing national record in the 4x1, and they didn't just beat it. They beat it bad. So
they went under 39 seconds in the 4x1.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. And I saw a lot of that speed. I watched the Tascosa play Dickinson this year, the first game of the season for those guys, I guess, last year. And the speed at Tascosa on that team was very, very evident.
All right, guys. Well,
hold on. We got to bring up Colton's question because a blast from the past question always I love.
Gosh, I haven't heard that name in forever. Do you guys remember running back Darryl Scott that went to Colorado? I remember wanting Texas to land him so bad back in the day when I followed recruiting much closer than I do now.
Yeah, Bobby, what do you remember about that recruitment? I mean, I remember, look, so that was back kind of at the end of Texas having a pretty good run recruiting in the state of Colorado, right? I mean, you know, whether it's
– Darryl was from California, though.
Yeah, he was California. He was De La Salle. Yep. He was at Concord De La Salle. He ended up at Colorado. What do you remember about that one, Bob? By the way,
go ahead. He basically led Texas on for quite a while. That's essentially what happened. At one point, he was going to go to Texas, and then he decided not to. I will tell you this. He had all the talent, you would want, but I would say that he never really showed the tenacity to kind of get after it in practice, in my opinion. And so I thought he was overrated at the time, coming out of high school, and he ended up truly being overrated overall. So there are a lot of cautionary tales in recruiting Colton and others. Darryl Scott is one of those. One thing that strikes me always, and I'll say this, guys who don't have good senior years, it's in high school and they aren't injured.
Right.
So if they're injured, it's a different story. But if they don't have good senior years and they're not injured, that's a little bit of a telltale sign. You may want to pump the brakes on that.
Hey, by the way,
he led Texas on.
By the way, since we mentioned De La Salle, Maurice Jones-Drew, I noticed this going through the Texas Relay heat sheets for high school. Maurice Jones-Drew's son is a freshman running back at De La Salle High in Concord and will be running at Texas Relays. So if you're at Texas Relays, today, tomorrow, or Saturday, and you see Concord De La Salle, and you see a fast, young-looking guy running in the sprints on the relays, that's going to be Maurice Jones-Drew's son at Concord De La Salle.
I want to say this. Best high school running back tandem I ever saw in person was Maurice Jones-Drew, great running back, and DJ Williams.
Yeah.
DJ Williams was a fullback, first round pick for the Broncos at linebacker, played at Miami, and Maurice Jones-Drew were in the same backfield. There's a reason they won like 60 games in a row.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, that's back when covering recruiting was really fun. Like DJ Williams officially visited Texas, right? And that's when, you could go down to Sixth Street and on visit weekends, those guys were just hanging out. So I was walking around them there on that visit weekend when I was young in the business, and DJ Williams was a part of one of those big Mack Brown recruiting weekends. But Texas didn't beat out Miami for the guy that was ranked number one in the country by some people.
DJ Williams' mom, I used to interview recruits, and DJ Williams was one of those. And DJ Williams' mom told me, this is one of my favorite little side stories about recruiting. Guess what she was? She was one of the dancers in MC Hammer's the MC Hammer song in the video. That's where DJ was very proud of that, because that was pretty popular back in the day.
That's crazy.
Yes, I know. You never know who's going to answer on the other end of the phone.
That's wild. Well, before we get to question, guys, one thing that we need to talk about is women's basketball tomorrow.
For sure.
Friday, March 29th, 9 p.m. on ESPN. That's 9 p.m. Central. The first time that they'll ever have played Gonzaga, but in the Sweet 16.
Good stuff. Yeah, so look, Gonzaga, for those that are going to tune in kind of for the first time, and I watched a little bit of video stuff on Gonzaga just to get a feel for them. They may be the best three-point shooting team in the country. I believe they're, I don't know if we're going to bring up their stats. I believe they're a 40% three-point shooting team for the season. And they've made 313 threes in 33 or 34 games. So they have two twins that are from the Houston area that are both made about 80, 90 threes. And they have a third girl that's made over 75. So you're talking about, you have to guard the three-point line Friday night if you're Texas. Because if they get hot, it's going to be a home game for Gonzaga. If they get a little hot from three, you could be in some trouble in that game. It's the best 3-point shooting team they'll have faced this year, and probably will face. Period, unless they come up against Caitlin Clark and she gets hot, which would mean a national championship game, which means you upset South Carolina to get there. So that's a long ways away. Friday, Gonzaga, those girls can really shoot the ball. Got to guard the 3-point line.
Hey, Texas women's basketball put this graphic out, and Vic Schaefer, but three Sweet 16s in the last 4 years at Texas, two Elite Eight appearances in the last three seasons, nine seasons to 26 plus wins in the last 10 seasons. I mean, just phenomenal what he's done in his career, but also just at Texas in that short time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, and if Rory Harmon doesn't get hurt this year, he's for sure, I think, going to add another Final Four to that. Now we'll see. They're going to run into an issue in this next weekend if somebody can get Booker in foul trouble early. They're going to run into it because the teams are so much better offensively when you get to this level, round of the tournament in the women's game. Madison can't – if somebody gets her in early foul trouble, Texas could struggle in one of those games, scoring enough points to keep up. Because I know Texas is going to play good defense, but people score against good defense when you get to this level. You know, so I think Madison Booker staying out of foul trouble is going to be huge for Texas. But Vix, you know, I think he could easily – he won't, but he could easily win a Coach of the Year award nationally, because if you lost your point guard who's going to be like a third-team All-American level player – and you're 12-0, most teams aren't still the number one seed in the tournament. What he's done this year, unbelievable. And what it tells you is he has his resiliency, but his team is a product of him, and that he can adjust on the fly and really maximize a team after it loses its preseason best player of the year, who happens to be the point guard. Not many teams overcome that in pro sports or college sports. If you lose your point guard early in the season, most of those teams don't come back from that. So Vic Schaefer's done an amazing coaching job. And as crazy as it sounds, Blake, and I'm a believer in this with him, that graphic is awesome for Vic. His best days at Texas are ahead of him. So that tells you where my confidence is and what he's doing with the Texas women's program.
Well, Jerry, why don't you tell folks how they can build their confidence with Manscaped?
Look, guys, I mean, we had some Manscaped comments earlier. Before I get to the read, it's more, just before I get to this, it's more than the lawnmower. Remember, there's the handyman, too. This goes with me on the road. All right, next. So you got your handyman, okay? But you also have your lawnmower 5.0. Guys, it's the, what does that say? Yep, that's what the Manscaped is. This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that nasty winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like springtime flowers, like you're walking in to watch the first round of the Masters. That's the way you'll feel. The azaleas, all the spring flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS for 20% off plus free shipping. Look, I love this thing because it comes with a compact case. As much as I travel, I can take it with me everywhere I go. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions, fellas. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped Signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. And I'm going to say this one more time. Do you want to be like Texas Tech fans and get Manscaped in Austin? Or do you want to buy Manscaped and do it yourself?
Bravo. Bravo. Job well done as always, Jerry Hamilton.
You need to, I tell you, you need to send one to Brett Yormark. You need to get his address. Send him one.
Oh, man. Okay, guys. Well, we have a lot of questions to get to. We got some super chats we need to knock out. So we're going to start with those. And Jay Lee with the first one. Thank you, Jay. He says, can we all now take a minute to praise Quinn Ewers and his development? Bobby, you touched on this a little bit ago. Things could have gone bad after that first bad season. All he's done is work and get better.
Oh, I think he's growing up, man. That's just, I mean, we all go through that at some point in time, right? Where you feel like, you know, football was fun or is fun to him. You want to keep that joy about the sport, but you also know you're going to go on to be a professional. There's just no doubt about it. I've seen the progress firsthand on the field, and we saw a little bit of it last year. I think we're going to see more of it this year. I do. And you'll see him against more difficult defenses too, by the way. So I don't know what the stats may look like, but you'll see a I'm convinced, 100% convinced, you will see a better version of Quinn Ewers in 2024 than you saw in 2023. No doubt. Now, is it going to be this quantum leap? I don't know about that, but it's going to be better. I'm very proud of him and how he's attacked the situation. He could have, to Jaylee's point, he could have went, you know, soft after the first year because he did not have a great year, right? He tried hard and all that other stuff, but he was a freshman. Sophomore year came back, led him to the college football playoffs. This year, I don't know what he's going to do this year exactly, but he is literally a guy that I'm impressed with just how he's attacking it this offseason. And if that's the leader of your team doing that, that's a really, really good sign.
I say this to add to what Bobby said is, you know, the game slowing down is always the biggest thing for quarterbacks. When everything's moving slower around you, whether that's in your peripheral, whether that's pre-snap, whether that's just the day before game and you're feeling the pressure of being the quarterback at the University of Texas, right? What Quinn said yesterday in the media session, that life has slowed down for him, that means everything's slowing down for him. Because if life is moving too fast, man, it's hard to just go to the field and the game move really slowly. So I think it, you know, to me, I kind of liken it to a pro golfer in a way. I mean, you know, just that everything's got to slow down around you, right? I mean, you got to learn how to breathe, right? And you got to have everything's got to be at a good pace and everything's got to be calm around you in your life. And I think what Quinn said yesterday is a big reason other than having 20 plus starts, being in year three of a system. Because I really think the quarterbacks now at these big time universities, everything that comes with it that's different now from an NIL perspective, Bobby, the demands on your time, you don't really have a chance to be a kid at all. You're thrown into a true professional world now. You're not the average college kid, even the average college football player 5 years ago. Being able to slow everything down from your day to day in your life and carry that to the field is so key. And if Quinn's starting to feel comfortable in that regard, which I think is hard for these guys nowadays, I think that's a great sign for Texas.
Our next super chat comes from Juan. Thank you, Juan. And he says, Bobby or Jerry, why are the refs at practice?
They are there to call. They'll get in a little bit of, hey, that was holding. Particularly on defensive backfield. Okay, so that's really what they're out there for, the wide receivers, DBs. Now, when they go to team, they won't set the ball or anything like that. And it's not a full group of officials unless it's an actual scrimmage. It's about 3 to 4 that rotate around to different drills, et cetera, and are calling things. And, you know, it's not a full-on thing. But it's interesting because I think Sark likes to make things a little realistic. And so they're just out there making sure that the guys know, you can't do that. I'd flag you for that, et cetera.
And probably helps them have a little practice.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know about practice. They're probably getting paid to be out there, but yes. I want to say this. It's a common occurrence. It's not just Texas. Just about every school I know of does that as well.
Okay, and then I've seen this asked a few times, guys, so we'll get it out of the way. Too broke to pay attention. Bobby, yesterday you said we may get some basketball news. Did I miss it? If not, can you give us a hint? And then Jeff Collins as well. Any basketball news we should be hearing? It was alluded to.
I will let Jerry take this because it's we're waiting on some portal stuff and what may or may not happen. So I'll let Jerry take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think naturally you know, we'll see what happens with Dylan Mitchell and Tyree Turner. There's been a lot of backroom chatter on that. I would be surprised if either guy was back. Then you have some guys in the portal that are starting to pop in there that have Texas attention. A couple of bigs, Brandon Garrison, Oklahoma State being one, who Texas finished top three on coming out of high school, and he was a top 40 type recruit in the country. So Brandon Garrison's a guy that Texas is working, trying on. They need two bigs out of the portal. One of those guys has to be able to shoot it, though. But the other one needs to be more of a rugged rim protector, wall up defender. Then I think point guard in the portal, even though Trey Johnson will have the ball in his hands in that zoom offense, that kind of chase, get action in the ball screen game. He'll have his hands on the ball. He'll play in the ball screen game. But Texas needs a point guard to help the transition of two future NBA draft picks. I think two future first rounders at guard, but they're still going to be freshmen in college basketball. And if you watch Kentucky, you know that's very difficult. So I think point guard. Then I think a wing shooter. Devin Pryor is going to be a good player. I think next year he'll start to really show some of those signs. He's a true wing in college, not kind of a four they're trying to fit into a wing. So I think four guys out of the portal, maybe one more high school guy will kind of set the roster for next year.
And while we're on the subject of the portal, let's go over to the football side of things. He, Too Broke to Pay Attention, says, outside of the Michigan defensive tackles, are there any rumblings of particular players or other positions besides defensive tackle that the staff may be targeting?
The only other position I think right now is punter. Based on what I've seen, unless they just have a litany of people leave that I don't expect. I mean, 6 to 8, I don't think they take anybody other than punter and defensive tackles. If they start getting cut deeper at defensive back than maybe they anticipate, maybe they go there. But other than that, I don't see them going for much in the portal other than defensive tackles and punter. Unless, of course, the caveat is always if a difference maker goes in the portal, that's a top 10, top 25 pick, whatever, say Will Johnson from Michigan, the corner. I mean, unless it's somebody like that, I don't see that. And I don't anticipate Will Johnson transferring. So, but my point is, I think Texas is going to look at defensive tackle and punter. Could they go one other guy if the situation merits? Yes, but not anticipated right now.
I bring up Antoine's 847 question. He asked that twice, and I think it's actually a really good question. So when I say faster team 1 through 85, I don't even think there's any question this Texas team this year is going to be faster. DJ Monroe wasn't much of a factor, right? So, but is Jaden Blue faster than Daje? I would say yes. I mean, I think Marquise Goodwin was a Olympic level athlete, but I think as a whole, when I talk about fastest team with Texas, I think they're a much faster team than that group as a whole.
And it spreads across multiple positions.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah. We're not just talking about wide receivers and running backs. We're talking about DBs, linebackers, tight ends. A guy like Amari Nyblak counts in that regard, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's a – when Jerry talks about that, I nod my head in agreement, not because I think that – I mean, they're not faster than Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. I'm talking about the whole roster. Much more athletic overall, as well as I really think they do have speed in general.
I mean, if you think about this Texas roster right now, you go back to Xavier Filsaime. He ran 10.55 as a sophomore in high school, then was injured during track his junior year, obviously early enrollee here. You can go down the list of this roster, and there's a lot of speed and a lot of speed that hasn't even been seen on the field yet. Some of these early enrollee guys, obviously. Ryan Wingo, look, he ran 10.55 in high school, 10.6 in high school. So there are a number of guys on this team that have football speed, they have combine speed, then they have track speed. So I think as an overall group, yes. Is there any one guy as athletic as Marquise Goodwin on this team? No, but I'm not sure there is in college football, period. I mean, he was an Olympian level guy. So I just think this team as a whole, I mean, and when I consider, I'm talking about Colin Simmons, Trey Moore, you know, all these young guys at all these positions, Ty Anthony Smith at a linebacker is an extremely athletic football player. So you just kind of, Darian Gillette is a hellacious athlete. Jare Bledsoe, unbelievable athlete. So, just the whole program, 1 through 85, speed as a team, I think is the best it's been in two decades.
Jerry, one more time to shine for you. I need you to get your glasses on and tell folks out there how they can look good with Gooder.
Look, this is the one time I'll do a read with shades on and show you a pink flamingo, okay? That's all I got to say. It cleans my glasses. It's a great little case. Why Gooder, you ask? Besides these being my favorite glasses now, which I wear everywhere. These stylish sunnies started only $25 a pair. No slip, no bounce, all polarized, and all fun. If you go read the reviews, over 50,000 five-star reviews. I'll be 50,001 when I get around to doing mine. I'm giving them a couple of weeks, but they're awesome. It's pop art for your face. They're 100% polarized and only $25 because they're so affordable. I never worry about losing them or breaking them, right? I mean, that's the key. You're in the ocean, you lose your glasses. You're not losing $200 pair of glasses and hitting your thigh saying, God dang, I shouldn't have had my fifth beer at 12:30, right? These bad boys are $25. Great for running, cycling, working out. I'm testing them cycling this weekend, by the way. Working out, golfing, going to the beach, hiking, or just chilling on a Texas media, open media window practice field. Here is the key. If you want to show the support of the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving On Texas Football listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/on Texas, all caps, and use code on Texas, all caps, for free shipping. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/on Texas, all caps, and use On Texas for free shipping. And all the last thing I'm going to say, I wish my Gooders good luck cycling this weekend.
Oh man, all right guys, we're gonna move on here. Still a lot of questions and a lot of time to get your questions in, so please do so. And yesterday this news came out about Ohio State, but Colton wants to know, do y'all have any thoughts on Ohio State having a nationally televised spring game? It's going to be on Fox. Kind of interesting in my opinion. What do y'all think?
There, Fox is trying to get into college sports a little bit heavier now, which I actually think that's more of the news to me, is not necessarily that it's Ohio State or anybody else. It's that they're trying to bring – Fox is trying to bring a little bit more to the college football stage. They started with the Big Noon Kickoff, right, to compete with College Game Day on ESPN. And now they're trying to take it that one step further, which I think is actually good for the sport. So whether it's Ohio State or whoever, I actually think that – the idea that Fox is trying to dip their toes into what has traditionally been ESPN's stranglehold, right? Because what I call it's shoulder programming, right? CBS, ABC, Fox, all these broadcast companies have always done a good job, relatively speaking, of broadcasting the games themselves. Where they have fallen short, everybody except for ESPN, is the shoulder programming, the things you see outside the games. Well, from my vantage point, for the first time ever, it looks like Fox is actually trying to compete with ESPN on a national level. Exactly. on the shoulder programming. So that's my bigger takeaway, Blake. ESPN, I'm not saying they're going to have competition, because they still don't, because they are the 800-pound gorilla. But it's nice to see college football get those opportunities.
And while we're on the subject of spring games, fellas, Joshua wants to know, can you tell us the plan for the spring game as far as?
Yeah, absolutely. So as of right now, we're going to have host a pregame near campus. I cannot announce that official site yet, but we've got it squared away. And then we're going to be on campus for the game. I don't know that we're going to have a live during the game, but we will be on immediately following it. We'll make sure everybody has the news and notes on that as well. But we want you guys to feel free to come out and join us. We're also going to have a happy hour, I think, on that Wednesday or Thursday before the spring game if you're in Austin. And I think I'm going to try to buy everybody at least one beer. I'm not buying multiple beers, by the way, but one beer. So please come out and join us at that point in time.
And then Zane Petty says, you bring up Tua's completion percentage, Jerry, in Sark's system at 69% and 71%. In 2020, Mac Jones was 77.4 completion percentage in Sark's offense. I think Quinn can have 75% or greater. Your thoughts?
I think that's tougher. I'd have to see yard, like really how far they threw the ball down the field, Mac Jones versus Tua. If it was a little bit shorter, a little bit less, I'd have to check that. But I don't see that. I'd be surprised. I think if you're in that 72-73% area, that'd be a heck of a year for Quinn.
Right, and then this next question here from Juju Juice. He says, is Nansen bringing any new schemes to the defense?
We talked about that this morning off air, Jerry and I did. We think he is. Now, how much of it will be a good question? Texas may play more one high this year based out of it. It's not unlike what they did at Arizona, but – look, I mean, how much Pete Kwiatkowski is going to sway from what he is traditionally done mm-hmm. is a good question. And furthermore, how much he should sway based on what he's done and the results he's gotten in the particularly last year is a good question. But I do think Texas is willing to attempt to do some different things. And I do think that they're going to work, that they are working on them right now in spring ball. Jerry, what you have anything different to add?
No, I think that's correct. I think that is somebody pointed out what Nansen does. I do think that what you said is going to be true, Bobby. I think you're going to see more of that.
Hey, I had a question for you, Jerry. You mentioned one of my favorite players, and I've talked about in this recruiting class, is Smith Arogbo, the defensive lineman out of Alief Hastings. What's going on with him exactly? Because I was so busy yesterday, I didn't quite understand. He set an official visit. Is he also coming in for an unofficial as well in the next 2 weeks?
Yep. I think Smith Arogbo will be in April 6th for an unofficial visit. That we broke that news a few weeks ago. And here's Smith Arogbo's junior huddle, 6'5", 218. I think about a 16-17 shoe. Really came on as a junior this year. Just got more confident, stronger, played more physical. But he'll also be on an official visit June 14th through 16th. That's a big weekend for Texas at the edge position. That's when Lance Jackson's coming. I actually talked to Lance this morning. And then Hayden Lowe, the edge player out of Westlake Village Oaks Christian, he'll be in that weekend as well at the edge position. So three of the very top targets for Texas at the edge position will be in June 14th through 16th. Your competition, I think, with Smith Arogbo right now, it's going to be USC. Could be Oregon. Oklahoma State's making a big push. A&M's trying. Oklahoma's maybe there. So I think this is a guy that in the spring evaluation period, while he has 31 offers, I think with him kind of blowing up without as much foot traffic going to Hastings High School, I think you're going to see more schools come through there in May and see if they can get in the door with Smith Arogbo. But really a big upside guy. That frame is a ways away. He may be 225, 230 by his senior season. We'll see. Like I said, he was 218, 216, 218 when I was through there in December. So we'll see where that, for how long it takes that frame. It's similar to Zena. He's got a similar frame to Zena. I think he's a little bit further behind where Zena was because Zena had an older brother, obviously. And those guys trained together. Then Zena trained at the facility, up with, Nathan Daughtry there in, McKinney area. So I think Smith Arogbo's behind where Zena was physically, but their frames are very similar.
I got to say this. Long arms and quickness.
Yes.
On defense, winning combination.
Yes.
And that's what Smith Arogbo has. I mean, typically that's a hugely winning combination. Long arms and quickness. And you can tell from that video, he has it.
And another defensive lineman that we've had quite a few questions about is Zion Williams. And he says, Jerry, what's the standing in his recruitment, the defensive tackle out of East Texas?
I really still believe LSU and Texas are 1A, 1B. I think LSU is 1A, Texas is 1B. I think A&M's third, and I think TCU's probably running fourth there. Jamarcus McFarland, obviously one of the great recruitments between Texas and OU, the D-line coach at TCU from Lufkin High School, distant relative of Zion Williams. So TCU's going to get that May official visit, third through fifth, one of their big weekends. Zion will be Texas spring game April 20th. He'll be back for an official visit June 21st through 23rd. He's a very, very, very much a priority recruit for Texas. He's seen as a guy that's over the ball in the SEC, what Texas is looking for, what Texas needs. Same thing with LSU, same thing with A&M. So we'll see where it goes. I think LSU is going to get him on campus. He was on campus once before. He'll be back for their spring game April 13th. So then an official visit, I believe June 7th through 9th will be his official visit to LSU. That could flip, be 14th through 16th. But I do think the LSU and Texas are battling this one out. It's an intriguing one because obviously Bo Davis has been recruiting him for a long time. And now at LSU and Texas, the staff has been recruiting him for a long time as well. Zion was impressed with Kenny Baker's visit in January. I was through Lufkin High in late January, and Kenny Baker had been through there, I think, two or three days before, and he was really impressed with that initial meeting with Kenny Baker. So I think it'll be interesting to see if Texas can kind of overtake LSU. What LSU has for going for them in speaking with Zion is that Baton Rouge area, it feels very much like Lufkin East Texas to him. So that's one of the things. That there's a comfortability feeling there. So we'll see. I think the academic athletic piece at Texas is very intriguing to Zion, though.
Hey, I got to ask you, I got to mention this. Hey, Blake.
Yeah.
You reported something in baseball yesterday about Tanner Witt. Can you explain exactly what's going on there and where he's at? Because he was supposed to be a key piece of the returning puzzle of the Longhorns this year. And it sounds like he's going to be on the shelf for the foreseeable future. Longhorns have a big series coming up at Kansas State this weekend.
Yes. Yes, they do. And if they can win two of those three, they should be in first place in the Big 12 race. But back to Tanner Witt. So he hasn't pitched. I looked it up since Texas Tech, which was probably about 3 weeks ago or so. A lot of Longhorn fans wondering where he's been, where he's at. And the news is that he's injured, but to what extent or what that injury may be, they're not exactly sure yet. What I was told yesterday is that they are going to get him checked out a little more in depth, I guess, to figure out what's going on. But the timeline on that is obviously unknown, as they don't know, you know, what exactly the issue is. So it could be one day, it could be 1 month, 1 year, who knows right now, but yeah, that's a major piece of the puzzle that Texas could use. That's just not there. It's missing at the moment. Yeah.
They said Ace Whitehead, he's been the Saturday starter after LeBaron Johnson on the Friday starter. They feel like they have a good 1-2 in the rotation right now and trying to find that third.
Yes. Yeah. And so last week we reported on Texas Football that Ace Whitehead should be a major contributor going forward. And then Saturday he came out, pitched a complete game, 117 pitches, and, you know, helped Texas get that win over Baylor. Looked pretty good, in my opinion. Had the lowest ERA, I believe, on the weekend of the three starters. But, yeah, he should be – that should be the status quo going forward. LBJ Friday night, and then Saturday it will be Ace. And then from what I hear, they're getting pretty close to what they believe the weekend rotation is going to be from here on out, you know, knock on wood.
I want to go back to that. The question about the completion percentage at Alabama, which I thought it made me look real quick on that, the double check stuff that I'd looked at. What'll be interesting when you think about Texas offensively with Quinn in 2024 is 2019 at Bama with Tua when he completed 71% versus Mac Jones in 2020 when he completed 77%. 42, 44 more passes for Mac Jones that year were completed to running backs and tight ends. So that's 42 more completions on more of the short passing game, short intermediate passing game there with Mac Jones in 2020 versus Tua in 2019. Now, I remember the 2019 being much more of a downfield passing attack with Tua, but that was the difference, 40, over 40 catches more in 2020 for running backs, tight ends combined versus 2019. So the one way you can creep that completion percentage up in Sark's offense to that 75, 76 area is if there's a lot more passing game into the tight ends and running backs.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, y'all. This next question here is going to be from Emmanuel Villafranco. And he says, does the play development and pre-draft performances help Texas recruit bigger frame / quality defensive backs?
I think that's just more finding those guys, Bobby. I just think it's casting a wider net for those guys, knowing exactly what you're looking for. I always caution this stuff. I mean, Texas has to have a certain amount of length. You can't have three. Sorry, Rod Babers. You can't have 3.59 corners running around in the SEC. sorry, Rod. You can get me next show. I don't think, Bobby, you can cookie cutter these guys. I think that's making a mistake. If I told you about DeSoto had a D tackle that was 6 foot 275 with arm length a little shorter than you ideally want. I'm not sure Texas would recruit that guy right now. So I think you got to kind of be careful cookie cuttering guys a little bit.
Or a 5'11 defensive tackle from Hilton Head,
yep.
South Carolina, and Puna Ford. I mean, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's player over size. It always will be. I'll never forget Darren Sproles.
Yes.
Right? Looking at him on the hoof, you wouldn't take him ever. Okay? He lit Texas up like a Christmas tree. I mean, so you would not. It's always player over size. And I do think that college coaches they traditionally have not had the support staff like NFL teams have when it comes to evaluating players. So college coaches are trying to be not only recruiters, but they're also trying to evaluate. They're also trying to, well, in pros, they have different people that do different things, right? And still they get it wrong in the pros at times. They go for height, weight, et cetera, over actual performance. And I believe that that's where a lot of people get recruiting wrong. That's where a lot of people get the NFL draft wrong. I'm not saying that those guys don't come around every so often, but the reality of it is that performance over prospect. Performance over prospect, because you have to play fast. You mentioned that, and I just think of JT Sanders. JT Sanders was a five-star prospect and all that because he was big and played wide receiver and had soft hands and all this stuff. But the thing that I see now, after going to pro day, he's average speed, Jerry.
Yeah.
He's 4.7, even it, and a less explosive athlete than others at tight end.
Yeah.
But JT Sanders, when he runs a 4.7, he plays a 4.7. There are going to be other tight ends that run a 4.55 that play a 4.9. And that is the difference. You know, you want performance over prospect, ultimately, if you're going to create the best team, because the best teams don't have the best prospects. They have the best players. That's the difference.
All right, guys. This next one here is from Jody Reynolds. And Jody says, stop with Trey Moore being the second best player on defense. Ethan Burke, you guys give him no respect. How would you answer that?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I got black eyes here. I just got hit. I got to put my gooders on to protect me. Golly. Now, look, I think Ethan Burke may go to the NFL draft after this year's show. I'm very high on Ethan Burke. I think he's going to ascend from year two to year three. So I'm very high on Ethan Burke. I actually think he may have a decision to make after this year. And if guys have a decision to make, they're tremendous football players.
I just disagree that we're disrespecting Ethan Burke. Trey Moore had 14 and a half sacks last year. Let's just be clear. He and Anthony Hill are the two who I think are going to be the two most productive players along with Jahdae Barron. So those three, those will ultimately end up being your most productive players. Barron Sorrell is going to be good. Terrence Brooks is going to be good. Alfred Collins is going to be good. But I'm telling you, Jerry's not out of sorts with that comment at all. And I've been to two practices, and it's not a shiv in the back to Ethan Burke to mention it, because you know it doesn't have to be either or. That's the great thing about this. It doesn't have to be Ethan Burke or Trey Moore. It can be both Ethan Burke and Trey Moore. And that's how I look at it, Jody.
All right, guys. This next one here is from Kelly at Horns Up. And they say, how do you see the position groups compared to last year? Are they all better except maybe defensive tackle and linebacker?
I definitely would agree with defensive tackle. Linebacker, I think, is going to be more about experience. And I do worry about that probably the first six games of the year. I think that Jalen Ford was a good player and a good leader overall. However, I also think that he wasn't necessarily a plus-plus athlete. And so after about six games, when Anthony Hill has been calling the defense for six games, I think some of that will dissipate. And so early on, yes, on linebacker. Later on, I don't think so. Defensive tackle, absolutely, because Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, frankly, are two of the better, maybe two of the top three or four defensive tackles in the entire country last year.
Before we move on to the next questions, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Rick Vavro and Austin Underground one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick doesn't just own Austin Underground. He also owns Texas Road. And those two companies can work together to help you and specialize in underground, difficult commercial installations that also include road work. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often consider too risky. Rick and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work you can count on each and every time. That's Austin Underground. Thank you, Rick, for your support of On Texas Football.
Then we have lots more defensive line questions, especially after some of these last ones here. So we'll start with Ivory Martin. And he says, could Texas have three edge rushers drafted, Trey, Burke, and Sorrell?
Not out of the question at all. That's not out of the question at all. And I think Texas could have four or five guys you look at next year on the field and say, all those guys may end up in the NFL one day. That's the depth that Bobby was talking about earlier. I think Texas is too deep of guys that will probably get drafted at edge, whether that's second round, third round, fifth round, seventh round. I think Texas is going to be too deep with draftees at that position. Does that mean Texas is a top three edge unit in the country? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is they have a lot of really good depth.
So it's the most surprising depth on the team. That's what we started talking about right at the very start, is really that. And so I feel like that is the most surprising depth on the team. The addition of Trey Moore really helps that. The health of Colton Vosick helps that. And then you have young guys like Colin Simmons and Zena Umeozulu. That's a good-looking group of players right now for the Longhorns.
And then Tong Vu. Tong says, who are the two starting edges on opening day?
I think that they're going to play a four-man rotation right now, Tong, and I believe that it's going to be Moore, Sorrell, Burke, and Finkley. So long as Finkley could be a potential portal prospect. I don't think he will be, but that's where this is going, guys. I mean, I'm just telling you, they've got guys right now. They've got guys.
And a lot of that who's starting depending on, you know, where these guys are lining up at the two different edge spots, right? I mean, I would think Baron Sorrell and Burke walk out as your game one starters, but does Ethan Burke also play some snaps over where Baron Sorrell does this year, right, to get Trey Moore and Colin Simmons on the field? I think that's how it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out in August after this spring.
Okay, our next question here comes from Michael Rodriguez. He says, good morning. After multiple practices in the books, which position group has stood out the most so far?
Quarterback. I would say, yes, quarterback, for what we see in the media window, right? So we're not there for the team where the helmets are hitting helmets, right? So I think offensive line, for me, just because of the depth. I mean, it's just the depth at center, the depth at left guard. And I've said this before, but 6 years ago, you couldn't entertain the thought of Hayden Connor taking snaps anywhere other than left guard as a multi-year starter. You couldn't – Cole Hudson would have come off a major injury and come back and just walked into his starting role again 6 years ago at Texas. That's the difference, is there's so much real depth and real competition that's been created through these recruiting classes. None from the portal, as Bobby pointed out. Straight high school evaluation, coaching, and development. I think offensive line, that depth is very strong. I'll say the most improved position is safety. I just think it's a faster, more athletic group as a whole. And the one thing I've been told is Xavier feels to me, we had reported, okay, physical guy. I've been told Jordan Johnson-Rebell is just as physical, just a different frame, and not quite as 4-4 when he hits you. But Jordan Johnson-Rebell is a very physical player as well, which anybody that watched him at IMG or listen to us talk about him at IMG, that's not surprising, because the IMG coaching staff said he can play in the box as well as he can off the ball. He has that physicality, he has that mindset. But I think the speed, the athleticism, and the physicality at safety have gone up about 3 or 4 notches. And then you have Makuba, who's really savvy, been really good. Sarkisian singled him out, and Derek Williams in year two is going to be the best of all the safeties. So I think that's the most improved position.
Best position on the team. I'm just telling you now, Texas has a chance to have 2 1-1s at quarterback. I love the offensive line, Jerry, and I agree with you. They may have 6 or 7 draft picks on the offensive line right now.
Okay. Yep.
And so I'm not saying no, but quarterback right now, they got some talent, guys, real talent.
And I'll say this too. If you look at a position room, who has the most future pros per capita is probably going to end up being running back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you could literally see 4 or 5 out of the 6.
Yep.
Y'all, we have time.
Good place to be.
Yes.
Time for just 1 or 2 more questions. The first of those 2 is going to be a super chat from Justin Yarbrough. Thank you, Justin. He says, Jerry, is Texas still looking at the athlete from Texas City?
Xavier Skouron, I think, is who you're asking about, a safety at the next level. I'll double check with him today, see if there's been any movement of late with him. Blake Gideon was by in January. That's his recruiting area. He went by to take a look at him. I know Missouri. There's a few Power Fives that have him scheduled for visits either in April or official visits, but in June. I'll double check with him. I haven't heard anything on that lately, but I will double check today for you.
And then our last question, fellas, comes from Joshua Bratton. Thank you, Joshua. He says, is there a position group that you guys may be worried about that may surprisingly be a strength, such as running back last year?
No. Look, I expect a lot out of the corners this year, Jerry. Terrence Brooks looks really good to me. Like, he's to that point about growing into an adult. He's taking that step. I do believe that. He's being a leader at corner. He's not a real talkative guy in practice, but he's doing everything. He's leading every drill. I think Manny Muhammad, from what we've been told, is a little bit of a football – Rod would call him a football investigator. I mean, the story I was told about Manny Muhammad, just to pass this on, is that he asked for the film from last year's first spring practice before this year's first spring practice so he could check out and see what else was going on or what they were going to run through most likely on installation days. That's how far ahead of the game he's thinking. Then you have guys like Warren Roberson, who I think looks good. We've talked about Wardell Mack, and Jerry mentioned him a little bit. Kobe Black in there as well. And then you have guys that can rotate down, possibly like Jahdae Barron, who, by the way, I still can't get used to him wearing the number 7 right now in practice. I was looking at him again. I'm like, who is that? John Bianco go, oh, that's Jahdae. And I was like, you can't get used to a guy wearing a new number like that if you've seen him 3 years in a different number. But I'd say corner maybe looks a little bit better than maybe most people would perhaps think.
I think Terrence Brooks and Manny at their strength are press corners too.
Yes.
And the one way you can play more press is if you have better athletes and better safety play.
And better pass rush.
And better pass rush, which ties it all together.
Okay, guys. Well, it's about time to get out of here. Is there anything that y'all are working on for ontexasfootball.com? Any videos coming up people need to be aware of? I know it's Thursday.
Yeah, we have the winning drive at 4:30 with Coach Shipley, Rod Babers, and CJ Vogel. There'll be some recruiting news on there, as well as some team stuff that Rod's going to be talking about. I also want to say this. Y'all need to go check out ontexasfootball.com. Jerry had a nice article on the team, some insider notes on the team this morning that I think is very valuable. We also have football theory later today as well.
And I got to say, we are inching closer and closer and closer to that 40,000 mark while the show is going. We hit 39,900 subscribers. That's amazing. Thank you for your support. If you haven't already, we would definitely like for you to hit that subscribe button, the like button, ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we go live. Tell your friends. I mean, we cannot do it without you guys. And then if you can't ever get on YouTube to watch it, we're on Spotify, so you can subscribe there, leave us a review. And if you're not a Spotify person, Apple Podcasts, man. So we are absolutely everywhere. And like I said, we just could not do it without you guys. We can't thank you enough for all the support that you've given, especially as we inch closer to that 40,000 YouTube subscriber mark.
166 days till kickoff. Thank you, Rob, for that. And by the way, thank you to our sponsors, Gooder, Manscaped. I can't do the reads at the same time, but I can show you at the same time.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football, presented by Rick Valvro and Austin Underground. We want to thank them for sponsoring today's show, along with Gooder and Manscaped, as Jerry just said. Thank you all for tuning in. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.